T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, so we've got Mike Tomlin having talked to Steelers media on Sunday at the owners' meetings and then at the AFC coaches' breakfast today a little while ago, where everyone had access to Tomlin. They just had to walk up to him and sit down. At one point, Mark Caballi was staring at a light on the in that Caballi big buffet room because he was trying to force a sneeze out. I don't have that magical power. I can't look at a light.
I think every human being should have, like, when you go out into the sun, that's why you should sneeze. Are we sure Caballi's story that he was trying to force out a sneeze, which I have done doing what he was doing, though?
I've never done that in my life.
Oh, yeah, I do it all the time.
I'm having a hard time.
I would look right
into
these bright studio lights above us if I wanted to. It looked like he was on edibles, though, and those lights might have been changing color.
Well, remember when everyone last year thought I was on edibles at the NCAA tournament?
Yeah.
When I was behind Kevin Harlan. Remember that, Donnie?
Well, I was staring off into space.
I also think people thought you were on edibles in Old City, Quebec, when you were merely just very drunk.
I remember that,
too. Your eyes looked like they were half shut, yeah.
We'll get to Tomlin in a second. Let's just go around the room and give our thoughts on this. Lamar Jackson requests a trade and now clearly wants out of Baltimore. Is this a good or bad development for the Steelers? Malzi?
Bad, because even though they play well against him typically, he usually does well if he's healthy against everybody else. So if you're trying to climb the ladder in your own division, you might have two games against the guy. And yes, those are very important. They're of outsized importance. But by and large, go look at his win-loss record. They're usually good for 10 or 11 wins, bare minimum, as long as he's playing. And I'm not just going to say, well, he's been banged up the last couple of years, especially last year when he clearly couldn't play.
Then it's a good development, not bad. Because if he's going to leave the team, if he's going to leave the Ravens.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I did say bad there. I should have said good. Yes, it's good ultimately because, yeah, even though they're good against him, which would make you think, oh, bad development, he's good against everybody else. And so they're tougher to climb over with him there. So, yes, it is a good development. Sorry.
Donnie, good or bad for the Steelers that Lamar Jackson wants out of Baltimore?
Very good. I was a little bit confused, Chris.
Yeah, sorry.
You said bad, and then I was like,
no.
Okay.
Because I had the reverse psychology thing there going for a second. So.
But people should not think too hard and outsmart themselves. Like Chris said, a lot of people are going to think around here, oh, well, he sucks against us, so I hope they keep him around. No, he wins 70% of his games. He's 49-21 in his career. For as long as he is playing at a pretty good level, which even though his best years might be behind him whenever he won his MVP, he's still pretty good whenever he's at full health and he's out there. And the Ravens will win a lot of games with him at quarterback. Maybe they don't beat the Steelers every time, but they are a threat in the AFC North as long as he's there. So it's very good. Get him out of here.
I disagree with you guys. I think it's bad, and here's why. I think if it's a short-term thing for them where they try to keep Jackson around for just this year, by the time he gets to the Ravens and signs his franchise tag, I think it's going to be too close to the start of the season. And I don't think you get great Lamar Jackson if he's in a new offense and he pulled a Le'Veon Bell and signs the franchise tag 5 days before the start of the year. If that happens, I think no one gets their money's worth. I think in Baltimore there would be zero winners if that happened. Jackson would probably have a season where the numbers didn't look great and hurt his value when he goes into free agency. And I think that the Ravens would not win 10 or 11 games with a Lamar Jackson at less than full power. So that's where it's bad. And then, or that's where it's good for the Steelers, because I don't think that a short-term Band-Aid works. And then I think you guys seem to disagree with me on this. I'd love for him to sign a long-term deal with a ton of guaranteed money that's hard to finagle and weasel your way out of and pay him huge money into his 30s as a mobile quarterback who takes more hits than anyone in the league and has not put up good passing numbers either of the last 2 years and hasn't finished the season in one piece either of the last 2 years.
Well, I think he clearly could have come back and played last year. I think that much. I think 2021 is the year where I say he was obviously hurt, but I think last year he could come back. I think that was a ploy on his part. That was, I don't have the deal I want, and I am not going to put myself at risk. I think there's a little bit of hubris involved here.
But you just said at risk, meaning whenever he plays,
well, anybody
his style,
takes a risk, but yes, he's going to be out there doing special Lamar Jackson things that do put him in more physical peril, but this idea that he is incapable of ever becoming anything more than what he's already shown as a passer is weird. He's still only 26 years old. Like, he could get better. They could sign him to that big quarterback deal, and then, yes, like any team, they're going to be hard-pressed to field as good of a roster around him because every team suffers that handicap.
And they already struggle
at finding.
But he could
get better.
Would you want to pay $250 million?
By the logic of what you're saying, you should hope every good team with a good quarterback signs that quarterback to a massive market-setting deal because it's so much harder to win. Mahomes and the Chiefs, only because of the way they've dealt with it and the extreme way in which they traded away Tyreek Hill, they're really one of the only examples of a team with a quarterback on a big-time deal winning. You should be hoping Joe Burrow gets a fully guaranteed deal because then it'll make it much tougher on
Cincy. Yeah, I don't want him to take a hometown discount there, but I also think Joe Burrow's a hell of a lot better than Lamar Jackson is.
Point being, though, you should be hoping every single one of those guys gets the huge deal because it makes it harder to win.
I agree with that, but would I rather see the Bengals with a cheap quarterback in the division for the next 10 years or see Joe Burrow on an expensive deal in the division for the next 10 years? I'd rather have the former. I'd rather play someone who's not one of the two or three best quarterbacks in the
league.
Rather
get the reality you have where Deshaun Watson's on the fully guaranteed deal or Lamar. I would imagine you'd rather see Lamar on that deal because you think Watson's a better passer of the ball.
I thought he was. Now, I'm excited. I'm giddy over the way he finished out last year for the Browns. That's the new Deshaun Watson after all the time that he missed. I think that's possible now. I'm hoping for that at least.
Do you have any worry at all that if he actually gets what he wants and allegedly wants, because I guess Rappaport's saying he was actively negotiating as recently as last week, so who knows what the real story is here ultimately, but are you worried at all that Baltimore, if they do deal him, if they say somebody signs him to an offer sheet, I guess, and they decide not to match and they get the first round picks in return, do you have concern that that's a well-run enough organization that they find their next guy?
Yeah, that's why I said I think it's a bad thing if he gets traded for the Steelers. I think if he's there, I know that, the devil you know, I know that player. I know what his limitations are. I think we've already seen Lamar Jackson
at
his best.
What do you make to some, okay, that last part doesn't, that would sort of nullify what I'm going to say here. There was that stat that circled around, there's only, I think, like five quarterbacks ever with, what was it, like 100, it was an arbitrary passer rating. It was like above 95 and 100 touchdowns in their first 60 starts. And the rest of the guys on that list were basically all studs.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what's the response there? I know he's got an MVP season that helps burnish those numbers, but it suggests that he is better as a thrower of the football than people give him credit for. Whether or not they think he can throw to wide receivers or whatever, the numbers are what they are.
Okay, what are the numbers the last 2 years?
17 touchdowns and 7 picks last year in 12 starts, and 16-13 the year before.
Yeah. That doesn't scare me in the slightest.
I mean, 17-7 through 12 games ends up being what, like 24-9?
Okay. That's not getting you all pro accolades.
Would you take 24-9 from Pickett this year?
24-9? No, I want better than that.
Okay.
I want him to score 30 touchdown passes. I want him to be the focal point of the offense. I want him to be... You throw 24 touchdown passes, you're not looked at as a great quarterback. You're not thought of in that way. Roethlisberger in 2020 threw 33 touchdown passes. We were done with them by the end of the year when they lost to Cleveland. He threw 33.
I know. He very rarely threw even that many in most seasons.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Still have tickets to give away to go see the Air movie. Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Sonny Vaccaro's life, his crazy journey from Pittsburgh to becoming a sneaker mogul who had the harebrained idea to bring Michael Jordan to Nike and launch the whole Air Jordan sneaker. I'm surprised they didn't send us advanced copies of this movie. I'm disappointed they didn't, Chris. I feel like we should have been on a list like that.
Because we're bigwigs?
They want us to sell this movie, and it's got a Pittsburgh tie-in.
That's true.
You guys watch this over the weekend, then come in and gush about it. Maybe they were afraid we'd watch it and we'd crush it.
Perhaps give me, Chris Muller, a pair of Air Jordan 1 golf shoes to show how much you appreciate my opinions on the movie.
Lamar Jackson requests a trade. Did it back on March 2nd. Announced this right before John Harbaugh talked. He was flustered by it. He said things like, we're still behind Lamar 100%. We still think he's going to be a Raven. And yet there's no deal done. Jackson said in this Twitter thread, they don't understand my value. They don't get my worth. They haven't met my worth. From a Steelers fan perspective, is this a good or bad development? Is it good or bad? What's a better outcome? Lamar Jackson back in Baltimore on another team next year for Steelers fans. 412-928-9370. Here is Brad on the fan. Hello, Brad.
Hey, you guys are big wigs in my book.
Thank you, Brad.
Hey, if I'm the Steelers front office, I am going to help the Ravens sign this guy to whatever he wants. He's very independable. He's not healthy most of the time when the Steelers play him, at least half the time. And he is he's not very good against the Steelers when he's in there. They kind of have his number a little bit. And I think the guy's always been a little bit overrated.
He's 2-3. Really won the so he, Brad, he is 2-3 against the Steelers as a starter in his career.
He's only started.
I'm sorry,
three
yeah,
games.
The games they play against him, they're 2-3. He is 44-14 in his other 58 starts. So I mean, he's pretty good against everybody else.
But don't you feel like if you sweep the Ravens every year, you beat them out for a playoff spot?
Yeah, but, I mean...
And if you feel like you've got his number, and Brad's right, he's got more interceptions than touchdowns and five fumbles.
Here's a question for me on Jackson. I think it's pretty simple. If you're the Ravens...
Thanks, Brad,
or
for calling us bigwigs.
Thank you. If you're the Ravens, or if you're either any of us trying to answer this question, it's very simple. Do you think he becomes 2019-2020 Lamar Jackson again? Or do you think that ship has fully and completely sailed for the rest of his career, and 21 and 22 are a harbinger of what's to come with him? If you believe the former can happen, then you pay him, and you want him out of the division for our purposes. If you think last year and the year before it are what he is starting to trend towards, then you want him to stick around because it's probably going to get worse. But that is the very simple binary question.
Lamar Jackson's negotiating tactic is this. I've gotten worse the last 2 years, but I want you to pay me like my MVP season.
I think what's problematic for him last year is that before he shut it down, partly because he doesn't have a deal in place that would have fully guaranteed him or guaranteed him enough money that he didn't have to worry about coming back out and risking it a little bit, he did not look like he had rebounded well from the previous year where you could talk about injuries a little bit. Like it was The numbers were all right, but they weren't overwhelming.
As a Steelers fan, I would rather face a Ravens team quarterbacked by Lamar Jackson than Joe Flacco.
Like current Joe Flacco?
No, I'm just saying all time. Lamar Jackson at his best on the Ravens, or Joe Flacco at his best on Baltimore, the Flacco Ravens intimidated me more.
Well, Flacco did. I mean, Flacco had two things going for him for this argument. He actually has come in here and won big games, playoff games, and beaten the Steelers. But Flacco had the ultimate weapon that very few other quarterbacks did.
The
magic ability to throw the ball 70 yards down the field and get either a completion or a PI. I mean, that's Joe Flacco. You know what? Joe Flacco was the modern-day perfected version of old Jeff Blake, who used to just throw the ball off the screen, and then it would come down in Carl Pickens' hands.
Michael is next. Hello, Michael.
Hey, I just want to say, first of all, Malzie was 100% right about the OB tribute.
Thank you.
We're not talking about that anymore, Michael.
No, we are right now, Michael. And for these couple of seconds, we're talking about it.
No matter which way you put it, I'm not too worried about the Ravens. I would love to see him go, but if he stays, I'm still not worried about him.
See, what worries me about if he goes via an offer sheet, if a team does materialize, is I do think they are well-run enough that even though they might be genuine, Michael, in saying that they really like him and want him to be their quarterback, if somebody's got to cough up two firsts and they like him that much, I think Baltimore is a very sharp, well-run team and would reload on the fly in a way that would worry me.
So that's speaking to my argument.
No, I know. Like, I'm just saying that part of
now
it.
Now you're helping my cause.
No, it's all right. You needed some help.
But I made that exact point about 15 minutes ago. Why are you trying to bring it up now as your own unique contribution?
I'm just saying it is my own little caveat thought.
I already articulated that caveat, though. When I said it back, I don't know, 20 minutes ago, why didn't you say good point?
Oh, because I wasn't in the mood to say good point. You didn't say any of the points I made about Ovi, all of which were great, were as such. You just tried to no-sell them. You undertakered them.
I didn't no-sell anything. I argued back.
You argued
with
back
full force.
You argued back very poorly.
No
though,
sell
like a
means I didn't pay attention.
You argued back like a misdirected hurricane. You went from it was a I didn't know what reaction it got to. It was tepid. To polite applause isn't really a good reaction.
Kevin's next. Hello, Kevin.
How are you, boys?
Hey, man.
I think it's a great day if you're a Steelers fan for Lamar Jackson to want out. I get it. If they sign the offer sheet, they get two first round picks. I agree. They draft really well. That's a concern. But wouldn't you rather send them back to the wishing well and the odds that they draft an elite quarterback are not high? I mean, look how many teams crap out whenever they try it. So wouldn't you rather see them go for a guy, and if he doesn't pan out, that's 4 or 5 years that puts a franchise back.
Let me ask you this question right now. Let's say they do that. Let's say they get rid of Jackson. They stink next year. It's a Bengals situation where they're one of the worst teams in the league. Then they get Caleb Williams for the next 15 years. You'd rather take your chances with that than Lamar Jackson for another 10?
I mean, that's an extreme hypothetical. Are they going to be so bad that they're top five
in
draft?
No, but listen, though. They could get to like 7 or 8, and then they got two extra first-round picks. They could move up.
I mean, absolutely. It's a fear, but is there any guarantee that Caleb Williams is going to go on to be a freak? Like, you know Lamar Jackson is good. The guy can win. He wins games. Maybe he doesn't play well against the Steelers, but he wins games. He's always a problem for...
Yeah, he's won a lot of regular season games. He's been in the league for 5 years. He's won one playoff game, Kevin.
Yeah, agreed, but it's not the point. The point is we have to overcome the Ravens to get to the playoffs. And let's not act
and
like...
And they have. They finished with... Well, not last year, but the year before that, they beat him in week 18 to make the playoffs. Because he was out.
If you remember, it came down to the final play of the game. We're not running away with these games. He's a problem. Whether the Steelers win or not, he's not a slouch. He's no layup for the Steelers to play against. I think if you can get a franchise quarterback out of the division and make them go back to the wishing well, that's a win for Steelers. That's absolutely a win for Steelers fans.
I like the point that it wasn't just, oh, they blew him out. I do think that was a good point there by Kevin to support that side of it, that you want him out of here. There is a huge unknown at quarterback. I mean, to speak to that point, everyone says this year's class is better than last year's. I've seen people say Kenny Pickett would still be a first rounder, but he'd be the fifth guy on this year's board, maybe the fourth at quarterback.
Who said that?
One of the draft analysts tossed it out there that he'd
Which
still be
one?
A first.
So I can call him out on Twitter for it.
I think it was Mel Kiper. You going to go
Kiper
after Mel
thinks
Kiper?
Will Levis is better than Kenny?
I think Will Levis was the one he was on the fence about. My point is, all of these guys are seen, like Richardson, Young, Stroud, as oh, they're much better prospects, but you have no idea how any of them are going to pan out. Like, there is an element of known bird in the hand versus two in the bush that Kevin brings up there that I think is fair.
If the Ravens thought that Lamar Jackson, and you've called them, Chris Mueller described, really good organization.
Mm-hmm.
If they thought Lamar Jackson could excel as a traditional throw-the-ball quarterback, why haven't they devised an offense to support that?
I mean, he's thrown it to tight ends. It's not like he's not throwing it, but he's got young legs still, so why wouldn't you take advantage of the thing that has so far in his career made him unguardable when he's on his game?
But their offense so far has mostly been a college option-style offense with him.
Well, I know, and it's worked. Like, I would think that one of their challenges with him, if they end up getting something done long-term, is, yeah, you're going to have to change the way this offense looks in the coming years. You're going to have to slowly, you know, evolve it. The Steelers' offense with early Ben wasn't what it looked like later in his career because his physical skills eroded a little bit while his knowledge of the passing game went up. He was a one-read quarterback for the first 5 or 6 years. He was just athletic enough to make it work.
Here's Nate on Lamar Jackson's trade request. Hello, Nate.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hello, Tony. Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Yeah, just real quick, I'll try to be quick. Looking at it in a vacuum, I would prefer Lamar Jackson to be out of the division and if possibly out of the conference. However, all things considered, I have to think, which Lamar Jackson would I prefer to face? One who's disgruntled, maybe got signed for a year, maybe got franchise tags and is disgruntled, or playing for another AFC team outside of the division, and he's perfectly copacetic because he got Deshaun Watson money. I would rather him, in that sense, stick with the Ravens. I think that gives us the best chance.
Nate, I'm going to put you on hold because Donnie's got some great tickets for you.
Stay on hold, Nate. That was a point
Stay
no
there,
one's
Nate.
Made.
Stay there, Nate.
Good job, Nate.
But it sounds like you guys agree with me that if he stays there for a year, that is advantageous for the Steelers.
I think that you make a... Here, you ready? Pony, I think you make a fair and solid point that if he doesn't report until right up until closing time, so to speak, then yeah, they're going to get off to a... Well, no, he won't. I mean, then you'd be banking on, like, does he just come out of the chute somehow on fire? Probably not. They've got a full new suite of offensive plays, you would think, going in. What's he going to say? Just give me the Lamar packages from the last couple of years. I just think he is the most interesting test case player in a long time because he should – the way in which he's going to have to be good if somebody gives him a fully guaranteed deal does not resemble the way he's been good so far.
I brought this up before we started the segment about 20 minutes ago. Mike Tomlin, if you want the Steelers to draft an offensive tackle, Mike Tomlin's comments at the owners' meetings – were must read or must listen to. Tomlin said he's content with the tackles that they have. He said happy and content are two different things, but I would say I'm content right now. Here's one way I read those comments. I'm starting to think, and I hate to say this out loud because I don't want it to be true. I think Tomlin's higher on Dan Moore than we are. And here's why I say that. Tomlin clearly put some stock in what happened in the second half of the season. What they did offensively in the second half, they got back to running the ball. They were good at running the ball. I think in, six of their seven wins, they had over 100 rushing yards. They got back to basics. They were good at that. Who was their best run-blocking offensive lineman? Moore. So if he really thinks the second half progress is sustainable and wants to see it continue, I bet he thinks Moore's the right guy for the job. And if they're going to draft an offensive lineman, I don't know if anyone else has said this, I think the tackle might be the guy that just ends up replacing Chooks next year.
Well, I mean, I think that I've seen more right tackles suddenly mocked to them than left tackle types. I think Mike Tomlin also likes the fact that Dan Moore was a fourth rounder who basically brawled his way into the lineup as a rookie. You remember that? Too soft, didn't even look like an NFL player, and then he just picked fights with everyone until Hayward got sick of it. I think Mike Tomlin loves all that football guy stuff
behind the scenes. I think he feels like Dan Moore is arrow-pointed-up guy.
and I think he would always default to, I buy the arrow pointing up even more. You know what Dan Moore, strikes me as with Mike Tomlin? The anti-Kevin Dotson in how Tomlin views him. Arrow pointed up, he's started to make real tangible progress. The other guy came in as a rookie, was probably the best he's ever going to look for us, and I've been disappointed since, type of deal.
The interesting thing that the Steelers, I felt, have done a lot in the past is they try and get a bargain free agent. That usually means it's a guy that maybe was banged up. It's like, oh, no, he's healthy now. Like, let's, instead of going to get that free agent that is, because they don't want to pay a lot.
Sure.
Which, okay, that's, everyone's got different philosophies.
Big Ben saying the Steelers shop for free agents at TJ Maxx. They go to Marshall's.
So wait, would he have rather they told him, maybe we got to give you a smaller deal, but we'll go out and get better free agents? Is that what he's implying there? Did he stop short of saying, I would have taken discounts if they'd have, you know, not shopped at the bargain bin?
Let's go there for our free agents.
Yeah, like, what's the free agent equivalent of a shirt you buy at Gabe's? Like, I got my New England Patriots 19-0 sweatshirt that I wore for many years there, which is a good find. Would it be a guy with six fingers or four toes on one foot?
I made a list of their five best offensive free agents signed. It was really hard to find five guys since free agency
started. And not even
started.
Skill guys, just guys.
On offense, yeah. So my number one's Jeff Hardings. I think Jeff Hardings is the best offensive player they ever signed. God. All pro.
Jeff's a solid, and Jeff was a very better than solid player. So I mean no disrespect here. But you didn't just name like a
Let me give you the next
household name. I bet you most Steelers fans would have had to think to find out who he played for
and
before the Steelers.
And there's a gigantic drop off after him.
Okay.
After Hardings, I have Maddox, Tommy Maddox,
Maddox,
Jericho Cotchery, Moeldy Moore, and D'Angelo Williams.
I'd almost put Williams up higher for that one season replacing Bell where he almost had 1,000 yards.
I know, but Moeldy was here as a contributor for multiple seasons.
No, I understand that.
And I would honestly even think about moving him ahead. If I'm going to move Moeldy, I would put him ahead of Cotchery maybe.
So you don't put the Tommy gun above Jeff Hardings?
No, because Hardings was an above-average center.
Tommy gun should have had him in the AFC title game, except Joe Nedney was out there acting a fool.
That's
Tommy Maddox authored one of the great comebacks in playoff history.
I mean, that's the best I can do. I mean, then you've got guys who just washed out like Ladarius Green and Dante Moncrief and guys like that, but they don't. Ben, I think.
Do you think Ben would have wanted it differently then? Is that a passive, not even passive aggressive? He's straight up saying they were cheap and they looked for bargains. I mean, that's just saying it plain. Do you think he wishes it would have been different? Because, I mean, to be fair, he won two Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
We all debate whether Hines is a Hall of Famer or not, but the mere fact that you're debating something like that means he was very good. Plex blossomed, partly because of Ben, into a very good receiver, although he had become one before then, right? They usually had pretty good offensive lines, not in 08. And then in the latter part of Ben's career, they drafted Bell, Bryant, Brown. And Heath Miller, too, the year after Ben was drafted.
They paid and they kept their own. They paid their guys.
I guess my point is the ones that they were
guys
drafting
were
good damn
enough
good.
To sign.
I didn't even mention
deals.
Emmanuel Sanders and Mike Wallace, who were two guys he got to throw to as well. I think at the very least, in the case of what directly impacted him, the offensive players, they drafted more than well enough that he should have been pretty cool with what he had surrounding him. Like, do you really feel that at any point in his career offensively, he was just surrounded by a cast of bums?
Well, I do think he's got an argument that in his last year, they should have signed free agent offensive linemen.
Hold on.
Even if that meant, I know they had salary cap problems.
Hold on, but that's because the year before that, they decided to draft a running back and a tight end when they could have addressed some of those problems on the O-line. They were giving him weapons. You can't say they should have, they should have signed him or say that that's what he was suggesting.
Yeah, but why
they just gave you the other thing.
Yeah, but they could have done both.
It seems to me that they prioritized the skill guys as a way of more directly placating the
I would have done the opposite. I would have drafted offensive linemen and signed a cheap running back and signed, looking back on it, I would have.
What do you think?
I like Freiermuth, but I would have rather had an offensive, I would have rather had Creed Humphrey than him.
So would I. Do you think Ben, let me ask you this. You think Roethlisberger feels the same way that like a lot of the analytics people do, that running backs grow on trees, they shouldn't have given me Najee Harris, go find me a lineman there? Like, I don't know how he views that
stuff. I think Ben values the offensive lineman over the running back. Look at how much he loves his offensive
line. I know he's friendly with them, but do you think he felt like, for example, who do you think Ben felt was more responsible for Ben's career overall success, Pouncey or AB?
Pouncey.
He's wrong then. Pouncey missed, like, chunks of time. AB was the best receiver in football for better than half of a decade.
Now, if things had ended better between the two, he probably would have said AB.
So it's really just personal feelings.
Don't you think so?
Yeah, but I'm saying that gets in the way here of, like, evaluation of who was actually better. For example, I mean, everybody knows I'm not, like, the biggest fan of Ben, but I acknowledge he is a Hall of Fame player.
Well, I've watched tons of these Ben podcasts. I think they're good. Unless I'm missing something. Has he ever said a positive thing about Hines?
No. Didn't like him.
He won two Super Bowls with the guy.
Yeah, didn't like him. Everybody knew that. That was even before social media, people knew Ben didn't like Hines. That was, like, out there in the papers.
I mean, that is just so... It happens with wide receivers and quarterbacks that their relationships can dissolve because there's a lot of selfish interest for wide receivers because they need somebody to do something for them. They need the ball thrown to them. They can't make it happen on their own. Mm-hmm. So that will manifest at times in Terrell Owens situations where they flip out on quarterbacks and relationships get ruined over it. But it is interesting that Roethlisberger doesn't have a great relationship with any of the really good wide receivers that he played with. He doesn't with AB. He doesn't.
Wait, is it interesting? It's big egos at both positions. I'm sure he feels he's responsible for them being good and doesn't think, like, AB, it became very obviously personal. I'm sure with Hines behind the scenes, it was personal.
Yeah, but do you think it's that way with Tom Brady and his receivers like Julian Edelman and Wes Welker and Randy Moss and guys like that?
I think
there's big egos there.
I think it's a mutual love society there. But that's because...
So, like, why don't the big egos get in the way of things there?
I think with AB, part of it, before even AB, you know, did what he did on his way out the door and pretty much nuked every bridge was, I think AB resented the fact that he was there working harder than anyone and the quarterback wasn't.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.